Bibles and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, we're going to read verses 9 through 15 together. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 9 through 13. And while you're turning, I'm going to drink some water. First Corinthians chapter 3, and we're going to read verses 9 through 15 together. My water girl did fine, but she didn't know I needed extra lube today. Oops, I threw the lid away. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 9 through 15. Let's read this passage responsively. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another man buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. And let's finish on verse 15 together. Ready? If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. And let's pray. Father, I pray that you help us today. Lord, it's never been asked of me that I preach a good sermon. Lord, I'm not asking you to preach a good sermon. I'm asking you to help your people. I ask that you'd use me and guide my words and my thoughts and my mouth so that I could be your spokesperson today, as you would be if you were here. Help us to listen intently. Help us to pay attention. Help us to do that which what it takes to get the truth that you have for us today, please. In Jesus' name, amen. And you may be seated. I need your attention this morning. I need you to listen carefully. Now, I know that it's a little warm in here. It's really hot for me. But it'll cool a little bit. And I need your attention. I know that you're tired. You're not used to the heat, and the heat will have you get a little sleepy. Slap yourself, do something. But I need your attention today. I'm going to be, and I don't like using this word, a little technical at first. And after we get through the technicalness of it, then you'll begin to see the practicality of it. There are two judgments coming and two judgments mentioned in the Bible. You have something called the judgment seat of Christ. That is for the Christian. Then you have, at the very end of what we would call time, you have the great white throne judgment. So there's two judgments talked about in the Bible. You have the judgment seat of Christ, and you have the great white throne judgment. Brother Barnes, just a little off on this thing, just ringing just a titch. So I'll push my own volume if you can take care of the ring. Amen? Now, these are two very different judgments, but this is the part where we as Christians often miss something. And if you miss this, you miss the whole sermon. These are not judgments of guilt and innocence.
Right.
This is not a judgment where we find out whether we're guilty or whether we're innocent. This is the awarding or the sentencing phase. If you go to trial for embezzlement, let's say that Brother Harry went to work and instead of making $75,000 a year, he found a way to make $750,000 a year by embezzling money from the company. If you figure out how to do it legally, let me know. I want your time. But let's just say he's found guilty of embezzlement. Well, you go through a trial to find out whether you're innocent or guilty. But then there is a second part of that trial. There is a judgment placed on it. And you go back to court to find out how much money you're going to have to pay and how long you're going to spend in jail. Makes sense to everybody? And the people who were embezzled against,
they are awarded the monetary restitution for what was taken. So you have an awarding as well as a punishment that was placed out there, and you find out what the sentence is. Everybody understand that? It's kind of like when Brother Mike used to go to jail. He'd find out how long he had to go. He'd find out that he was guilty, and then how long he had to go till he got out. And that was until Arlene came along. Then she just didn't get him out. Now, I say that to say this. These two judgments are not deciding innocence or guilt. That's decided before you die. You decide your guilt or your innocence based on your salvation. Your salvation is the judgment, whether you go to the judgment seat of Christ or whether you go to the great white throne judgment. Those who do not get saved, they automatically go to the great white throne judgment. Those that are saved automatically go to the judgment seat of Christ. There's no judgment of guilt and innocence. Your salvation determines your innocence or your guilt. Does everybody understand that? All right, now, that's important. The judgment seat of Christ and the great white throne judgment are judgments, yes, but it's the sentencing phase of the judgment. It is not, well, if I'm going to go to heaven, I'm going to stand before God, and hopefully the good outweighs the bad. That's what deciding guilt and innocence. That's not what these judgments are about. This is where saved people receive their rewards. This is where lost people at the great white throne judgment get their eternal damnation and the total payment of their sin. That is what these two judgments are. Now, your life as a Christian, and you go to the judgment seat of Christ, I don't care what Mr. Van Impe says, they're not going to put your life on a big giant screen and show everybody in heaven everything good and bad that you did.
Thank God.
Mr. Van Impe ate bad pizza before he went to bed when he started saying that mess. Can I tell you something? Everybody in heaven isn't going to see all the things you did.
Praise the Lord.
But you will find out what your rewards are. You will find out if it was wood, hay, stubble, or gold, silver, and precious stones.
Yes.
And it will be tried so as by fire. And I'll explain that in a little bit here. Now, it has nothing to do whether or not you are saved. The only way you get to the judgment seat of Christ is if you're saved.
That's right.
You don't show up at heaven and all this, when you die, you don't go to heaven and stand there and St. Pete decides whether you're to be there or not. To be absent from the body is to be present from the Lord if you're saved. To be absent from the body for the lost is to be present in hell.
That's right.
Yep. You go to Luke chapter 15 or Luke chapter 16, you find out, and the rich man died and was in hell and lifted up his eyes being in torment. The moment he died, he was in hell, lifting his eyes up in torment, saying, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me." It didn't take but the moment he opened his eyes, he knew it was too late. Now, listen to me very carefully. So these judgments have nothing to do with your salvation or not. That's cared for here on earth. That's why it's important we go out soul winning telling people how to get saved. That's why it's important if you're not saved to get saved so that you don't end up in hell.
Right. Right.
Now, the lost will be at the great white throne judgment, the saved at the judgment seat of Christ. Now, I say that to say this. At the judgment seat, we receive the rewards that we earn as Christians from God. And I'm not going to go into what all those are. Because, number one, the Bible doesn't say what all those are. But I'm going to show you something here in a little while that'll... some of you that have Baptist blood are going to shout, amen? But the lost at the great white throne judgment, they receive their sentence on all of the sin, all of the evil, all of the rebellion against God that they committed, whether they were good or bad. Did you know that... I personally believe, and I think I can prove it, that the more evil, the more bad that you did, the worse hell will be. But may I say this, hell is still hell.
Amen.
It's not going to be good no matter how good you were here on earth.
That's right.
somebody like Adolf Hitler, if he didn't get saved, is going to have a little tougher hell than somebody that really did try to be a good person, but they didn't get saved. But either way, burning in hell for eternity is not good. Anybody understand that? The difference would be you might get a life sentence, but if it's not life sentence in solitary confinement, solitary confinement's for the worst. But a life sentence is still a life sentence. You're not getting out of jail. Right. Neither is good. One may be a little better than the other, but neither is good. Now, murderers are bad people, but everybody look at me. I'm going to get somebody upset on the internet, I'm sure. But did you know people like the Pope and people that preach bad doctrine are probably going to have a hotter hell than Adolf Hitler?
Yeah.
When you preach doctrine contrary to the word of God, you're sending people to hell, and God will hold people like that in judgment. I'll show you in the scripture where that's true. Now, I want you to clearly understand the difference in these two judgments, and exactly what they are, and I want you not to worry about your future, but I want to show you a sweet little truth. We're going to take the diamond of the Word of God and shine the light on it, and you're going to see it sparkle a little different way today. You're going to see a little different hue or a little different color in it. First of all, the foundation is Jesus. I want you to go to 1 Corinthians 3 if your Bible's still open. Look at verse number 9. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. Yes. Now look at verse number 11. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble. Notice there are six different elements to build with. All of them are built on a foundation, and that foundation is salvation.
Yes.
Did you know that if this building burned, they could build back up on the foundation? Because the foundation won't be ruined by the fire. When you get saved, it doesn't matter how you live your life. You have your foundation in heaven. But your rewards are being built on that foundation, which is Jesus Christ, and your salvation. Hey, Brother Mike, did you know that you're never going to die and go to hell if you've been saved? Brother Roy, the day you got saved, guess what? You're on your way to heaven, and nobody can take that away. We can choose whether we put wood, hay, or stubble on it, or whether we put gold, silver, and precious stones on it. You decide whether you want wood, hay, and stubble that's going to face the test of fire, or whether you want something that's going to last. Used to be an old gospel song sung by Southern Gospel Quartets. Just give me a log cabin on the backside of heaven. Can I tell you something? A log cabin on the backside of heaven is going to burn. I like a log cabin, but I don't want it in heaven. I don't want wood that's going to burn. I don't want my works earning me something that will lose reward. It's an investment time. If you had money to invest, keyword, if you had money to invest, you're not going to put it into something that's losing money. You're not going to put your money into something to where they're going to take your money and put it in the furnace and burn it up. That's about all it's good for anymore. But you say, why? Because you want that money to make more money for you. You want it to be productive for you. Can I tell you something? Your Christian life ought to be productive for eternity. You ought to be investing for your future in heaven. I'm for your IRAs and your 401ks and your 403bs and your mutual funds. And if you're understanding the stock market enough to be able to make money there, I'm for it all. Not against it. Think you ought to put some money aside so you can retire someday. Yes. I'm for all of those things. But can I tell you something? Some people have more in the bank than they have in heaven. You're going to die and leave it to somebody else. When you get to heaven, you got to live with it forever. You better be working towards investing in heaven. So you can't get to heaven as a resident without Jesus. Amen. The moment you get saved, there's a foundation poured in heaven by Jesus that has your name on it. And you then start building your building in heaven by what you do here on earth. Your good works don't get you there. Your salvation gets you there. Your works are what builds the building. Everybody doing all right? Some of us aren't going to have anything bigger than an outhouse. Ephesians 2, 8, 9, for by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. You don't get to heaven by what you do. But your rewards in heaven are based on what you do. Everybody understand that? You don't get to heaven by what you do. You get to heaven by trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior. That puts the foundation in your building. We're getting ready to build the building here. Can I tell you something? If we go out and just build on the ground, start putting flooring down, 2x4s and 4x4s and 2x12s and everything else up, that building will fall down. You got to dig down and you got to put a good base on it and pack the rock in, then pour the concrete over top of it. You got to have a solid foundation so that it can withstand time and the weather and all the different things. You got to have a good foundation in. You don't get to heaven without the foundation of salvation. And salvation is put in by Jesus Christ. But you have to trust him to get your foundation poured in heaven. Man, I love that. You can put a shack or a mansion on a foundation, but you got to have foundation. You put a shack on a foundation, it'll stand. You put a mansion with no foundation, it's falling down.
That's right.
Doesn't matter whether it costs you $5,000 to build it or $5 million to build it. If there's no foundation, it's coming down. Religion, good works, spiritual experiences, baptisms, church memberships, none of them get anybody to heaven. None of those things get anybody to heaven. But once your foundation's laid, it can help you put things on as your building and your reward for heaven. That's all those things are for, is for your reward in heaven, the awarding phase at the judgment seat of Christ. Number two. Wow, I'm doing good on time. Don't put your shoes on yet, though. Number two, God will reward or judge the saved based on what sort our works are. Take your Bible, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse number 13. There's one word that we mix up and we misunderstand. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it. What day? The day of the judgment seat of Christ. Because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Everybody look at me. Does it say what size it is? Does it say how many? It says it'll be tried by what sort it is. I'm about ready to have a spell. Did you know, Brother June, I believe in soul winning with every fiber of my body. But I also believe that you're not responsible for how people receive the gospel. You're responsible for obeying God and going out and telling others about him. God's not going to judge you based on how many people you have saved. He's going to judge you based on, did you go out and go soul winning, whether you had somebody saved or not. Let me show you the difference. The difference. Wow, God, that got my tongue tangled up around my eye teeth and couldn't see what I was saying there. Let me show you the difference in wood, hay, stubble, gold, silver, and precious stone. Let's see here. Brother Mike, come on up here for a second. Here's a good man in our church. Here's a man that knows how to win people to Christ. But if Brother Mike goes out and he goes over here to Neil and talks to Neil, and go talk to Neil for a second there, and win him to Jesus, put him at the altar there, bend him down there and get saved, then Neil gets saved. From Brother Mike to come back after he won Neil to the Lord and tell everybody, look at me, I'm just such a good soul winner, I got Neil saved, look at everything I did. Me, I. Guess when he just got his reward? That means in heaven, even though he's going to heaven, he has a foundation laid, the reward you would have got for that. And I'm not saying that you have people saying don't tell anybody. But if you're telling people so that you are the center of attention, then you're getting all of your reward here on earth.
Yes.
That's what wood, hay, and stubble are. Thank you, Brother Mike. I know a lot of soul winners that go out and they come back telling everybody how many people they have saved every week, and they want everybody to know how good a soul winner they are, and they're getting their own reward. And I am going to be very cautious here. I know some ladies that were phenomenal soul winners when I was in Indiana, and I mean phenomenal. But the whole world knew they were phenomenal soul winners because they told every person they talked to. Every person they won to Christ got saved. But can I tell you something? They lost. They're going to lose a lot of their reward because they did it to show off how good they were. They weren't doing it in obedience to God, just going. I know people that go out week after week after week, might not have somebody saved all the time, may not have very many people saved, but they go out and they go soul winning, and God will bless you for it, and you will be rewarded for it. You'll be rewarded better than people that had thousands saved if they got thousands saved just to show off how good they were. Everybody doing okay? There's a doctrine in the Bible called fasting. And the Bible talks about in the book of John, the Pharisees would get up and stand on the street corners. They would fast for many days, and they would stand on the street corner. They would dress in sackcloth and ashes and stand there and say, "Oh, you pray for me. I'm fasting. I'm doing this for God. And look at me. I'm suffering for God because I'm fasting." And God said they have their reward. That doesn't mean if you're fasting that you shouldn't tell your spouse or shouldn't tell people in your home as to why you're not eating, that you're going to lose all your reward if you fast and tell somebody. No. But if you tell somebody so that they have pity on you, so that they feel sorry for you and you do it to get attention, then you've lost your reward.
Right.
Everybody doing all right? For years, I fasted one meal a day. For a certain person. I told them I would be doing that, and that was the only person other than my wife that knew. I was doing it for someone's health. It was not a big deal. I did it. Nobody else knew I was doing it. I didn't just lose my reward. I'm not doing it now. But I did it not to get attention for me, but to get a hold of God to help that person with their health. Everybody doing all right?
Yes.
Pharisees are those that get up and, look at me. Look how poor I am. I've sold everything so I can do this for Jesus. God help us. I've heard Baptist preachers get up, "Bless God, I gave this up to go into the ministry. If I weren't in the ministry, I'd have made this much money and I could have had this kind of..." Well, you should have done it because that's what you wanted anyway. Can I tell you something? I didn't give anything up to go into the ministry. I got everything. I don't regret one thing.
That's good.
I didn't get into it to get the money. I didn't get into it for fame and popularity. I got in it because that's what God wanted, not what I wanted.
Amen.
Everybody doing all right? So God will judge or reward the saved based on what sort it is. That word sort means what kind? Did you know we're supposed to obey every command? Our obedience is what is rewarded, not the production. Now, let me say this. I believe the more you obey, the more results you'll see. I believe that. Brother June, I believe if a person goes soul winning regularly enough, they're going to see people get saved. But I know people that go soul winning 2, 3, 4 times a week and don't have somebody saved every week.
I've used this illustration before. I know a pastor who made his staff, if they didn't have somebody saved at church and baptized, they didn't get their paycheck that week. That is trying a man's works by what sort it is, and they'll lose their reward. I'm not accountable to have somebody like that every week myself. I'm supposed to be obedient and witness to people. Everybody doing okay? Brother Joe has somebody he's been working on. He called me the other night and said, here, I got somebody that's interested in our church. His name's such and such. You talk to him. Handed him the phone. I mean, he threw him into the fire real quick. Poor kid. Felt sorry for him. You say, did it bother you, preacher? Not a lick, man. I got to talk to somebody without knocking on the door. They called me. I didn't call them, amen. Say, what'd you do? I said, hey, Doc, I'm Pastor Bush. I said, how's it going? He said, good. I said, kind of awkward? He said, a little. I said, not for me. It's all right. He said, all right. I began to talk to him. Found out he grew up in church. Found out, and very respectful. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I thought, wow. I talked to him for 5-6 minutes. I said, Doc, let me ask you a question. I said, you said you used to go to church. I said, are you 100% sure you're going to heaven? Have you ever been saved? He said, oh, I did that when I was a boy. I said, good. What'd you do? He began to tell me. I said, then you got saved. Praise the Lord. I said, I believe in making sure somebody knows for sure they're going to heaven. I was sitting in my recliner chair with my wife beside me with the phone in my ear witnessing to somebody. That was the most comfortable soul-winning experience I ever had. Now, wait a minute. I didn't let him off the phone without witnessing to him. You say, why? May never get the chance to talk to him again. Figured better hit him with the gospel gun. Amen?
That's right.
You say, weren't you afraid of that? Didn't that bother you? Not a lick. Okay, he was already saved. Did I lose my reward? No. Everybody doing all right? Yes, you just go and do what God says do. But I believe the more times you ask it, the more people will get saved. You see, our obedience is what God blesses, not our results. The Bible says, Apollos watered, or Peter planted, Apollos watered, but God gives the increase. This one plants, this one waters, but God gives the increase. I don't care how many people you've had saved in your life, it's God that gave the increase, not you.
That's right.
Am I doing all right? Man, I'm having fun right now. So, are you doing things for yourself, or are you doing things for God? Turn to Matthew chapter 6. I want to show you something here. Are you serving God because of what it does for you and the popularity you get, or are you doing it because it's what God wants? Matthew chapter 6, I must hurry here, but I want to show you what the Bible says. Look at verse number 1. Matthew 6, verse number 1. Take heed that you do not your alms or your good deeds before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily, I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father, which is in secret, himself shall reward thee openly. When thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are. For they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily, I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, when thou hast shut thy door, pray to the Father which is in secret, and thy Father that which seeth thee in secret shall reward thee openly.
Yes.
Folks, don't take me the wrong way. I believe in prayer, and I pray for every person in this room. There's not a person in this room that I have not prayed for this week by name to God. Most of you every day. But can I tell you something? I don't go out in the middle of Queen Street and kneel in the middle of Queen Street and say, oh, God of heaven, I pray that... That's stupidity, especially around here because people hit you.
Yeah.
And that most of them know me and they're trying to hit me whether I'm out in the street or not.
Can I tell you something?
The hypocrite goes out there.
Well, I, bless God, I'll stand on the street corner and I'll pray and ask God to bless my church. Well, stand on the street corner and pray and ask God to bless the church. But if you're doing it to get everybody's attention, you got your own reward. God's not going to bless that in heaven eternally. I'm going to tell on you. Mrs. Shoebridge saw me out at the church property yesterday. I was walking around. She said, "You out walking and praying, preacher?" Yeah. I was. I didn't do it to be seen. But I was seen. I didn't go out there and say, "Oh, God, I hope everybody that drives up and down Charlestown Road sees me today." I don't care if they saw me or not. But may I say this, I didn't go out there to be seen. My motive was not to be seen. It was to get a hold of God and help move this process along so we can rise up and build. Asking God to take care of the little bumps in the road. Asking God to hurry this thing up so we can do great things for him. I was out there mowing, and every time I'd go up that hill, I'd see that building sitting right there on top of that hill. Brother Mike, is about all I could do not to weep. I was back where the tent was a couple weeks ago, mowing back there, and so all I could see was the parking lot full of cars. Seeing about a half a dozen buses lined up, Brother Jimbo. All the bus kids drawing on all the new painting on the walls. Yeah. Flushing whole rolls of toilet paper down the commodes. Bless God, it's going to happen. Just get ready for it. But plungers are cheap and paint can be painted over, amen? Can I tell you something? I wonder how many people are going to get saved on that piece of property. I wonder how many marriages will be spared. I wonder what God's going to do for eternity on that piece of property. And, oh, God, would you help us? Whew, that's enough to make you want to shout. I'm not out there for me. I'm out there for him. Can I tell you something? You choose whether you want your reward now or whether you want it in heaven. I don't know about you, but I'm willing to wait. I'm willing to wait. You will not be rewarded for how much you did. You'll be rewarded for your obedience. I believe the more you obey, the more you're going to want to do for God. Let me say that again. I believe the more you obey, the more you'll want to do for God. Because one of the byproducts of obedience is love. If you love me, keep my commandments. Yes. Obey me. And the more you obey him, the more you love him, the more you love him, the more you want to do for him. Amen. And the more you do for him, the more opportunity for reward you'll have. Some of you sourpuss Christians. "Well, I tried that for a while. It didn't work. I'm tired of it. I did my tour duty. I'm done." Well, you're backslidden. You need to get your heart right with God and fall in love with God. Ouch. I didn't say it, God did. I realize there are physically some limitations as you get older. You're not going to walk 5 miles out soul winning every Saturday. But there are still some things you can do for God. Everybody doing all right? Man, I'm having fun right now. God doesn't base your reward on how many people you have saved. He'll base your reward on the times you go out and go soul winning. I'm not talking about showing up to the meeting and just driving away either. I'm talking about you actually go out and witness to somebody. Or you go out and be the silent partner with somebody. Can I tell you something? God's going to reward you on your church attendance. Whether you came, whether you felt like it or not. If I came when I felt like it, I wouldn't be here. When I got up at 20 after 4 this morning, I really didn't feel like it, Brother June. That bed felt awful good this morning, Brother Mike. Been a while since I had slept like that. And I'm not one that likes sleep, but boy, at 20 after 4, I was slobbering all over my pillow having a good time. My alarm was set for 4:30, and I woke up and drained the slobber out of my hand and
said, Lord, I got to get up. Man, I got up. Julianne's had that trouble too. Hers is stringy though. Wait a minute. She's the one that did it, not me. Wait a minute. I didn't jump out of bed saying, oh, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Praise the Lord. I rolled over and went, man, my hip hurts. My head hurts. My back hurts. I feel like a truck rolled over on top of me and backed up just to make sure it got me. Then I stood up and everything's going snap, crackle, pop like a box of cereal. I thought, oh, Lord, couldn't I go back to bed just for a little while? He said, you can, but I'm waiting on you. Whew. So I plowed through the dark, got to the bathroom, turned the lights on. After I closed the door so I didn't wake my wife up. Got in the shower, woke myself up. Started praying. I couldn't wait. It's Sunday. Everybody's going to be at God's house. I get to see God's people. I get to preach the eternal word of God. I get to help the people I love in this world most. I get to be a part of the greatest work this side of heaven. Hey, how could I not want to stay up after that? Whew. Now, when the eyeballs popped open, it wasn't, oh, bless the Lord, I get to get up. It was more like Lazarus come forth.
Wait a minute. Did you come to church because you had to? Did you come to church because you're supposed to? Did you come to church because your mom and daddy made you? You know what? I don't go for this. Well, my mom and dad made me to go to church as a kid, and I don't think I ought to have to go to church as an adult because my mom and dad forced me. Well, they forced you to learn how to use the potty when you were a kid. Are you going to be rebellious and go in your pants the rest of your life? Well, give them that logic once, Brother Mike. It sure shuts them up in a hurry. Just because your mommy and daddy made you do something that's right doesn't mean you stop doing it as an adult. Well, I don't think you ought to come to church if you come for the wrong motive. Get your backside out of the house and go to church. I don't care if you come for the right motive or the wrong motive. Get in church. Yes. I know somebody came to church. All the reason they came to church is find somebody to date. Good place to find one to date.
Yes, sir.
I'd rather preach to a jerk in a pew than to an empty pew. Yes, if the jerk's in the pew, God's got a chance of getting him.
Yes, sir. Preach on.
Everybody doing all right? Man, I'm having fun right now. I believe in reading your Bible, whether you retain the knowledge or not. Just keep on reading it. But I don't think you ought to read your Bible and then go around all the world and tell everybody how spiritual you are for how much Bible you read this week.
Right. Read it.
I'm for saying, look, Brother Jimbo, let me show you something I got in my Bible reading this week. But I'm not going to go to Brother Jimbo every day and say, Brother Jimbo, did you know how much Bible I read today? Because if I do, I've received my own reward. I don't read my Bible for Brother Jimbo. I read my Bible because I'm supposed to. There are times I'll read it for you in reference to I'm trying to find your needs and asking God to help fill your needs. But I'm not going to go around saying, well, Brother Jimbo, I got something just for you in church. You come and I'm going to preach just to you. I got a whole church full of folks I got to help, not just him.
That's right.
But I want to help him too.
Amen.
Actually, I'm trying to help Loretta help him. you know, prayer is the same thing. Are you doing it to get attention, or are you just talking to God? I love our men's prayer breakfast. Show up. You don't have to pray pretty prayers. Matter of fact, God doesn't respect those a whole lot. O thou God of Rehoboam and Jeroboam and all the other Boam boys, our most wonderful Heavenly Father, the omniscient God, the omnipresent Jehovah. Oh, good Lord. God doesn't even understand some of them words. You're making a show. I love some of you men. I'm needing some of you to step up to pray publicly. Say, well, preacher, it bothers me. It's okay. We don't care. Lord, bless the offering. Thank you. Amen. That's good enough for me.
Amen.
You don't have to be real fancy. Nobody here is impressed by you anyway. Your pretty prayers don't impress anybody. Just like stained glass doesn't impress God in a church building. So we're not having any, Mom. She had a dream this week that she was in her new building and it was stained glass. She was in the wrong church and it wasn't a dream. It was a nightmare. Now, wait a minute. Getting godly counsel. I believe every Christian ought to seek godly counsel. But are you seeking it so that you can prove yourself right, or are you going to prove God right? Do you know, I believe that you ought to tithe, but I don't think every time you tithe, you ought to write it in one of those big, fat, Sharpie markers. Remember the old black markers that stunk real bad? You know, the tan and silver ones, and you opened them up and you smelled them for 3 miles? I don't think you ought to take one of those out and write the number on the front of your tithing envelope, how much you're putting in the plate, and then you say, look at me, look what I'm doing. Gag. You just received your own reward. But I think Brother June was talking when he was praying to God a little while ago, God help us to give out of a good heart. I'll take any old groucher to give it. I don't care if you give with the right attitude or not. Obey God. God will fix your attitude if you obey him. Sorry. I'm not a money-grabbing preacher. I want you to obey God. Now, I think you'll be better off if you give with the right attitude. I'll agree with you on that. But there was times I took the trash out with a bad attitude. But I knew it was better obey than to burn, amen? There was times I didn't do what I was supposed to do because I wanted to do it. I was afraid I was going to get whooped if I didn't. Eventually, I began doing it because I wanted to do it and because it was what I was supposed to do.
Yes.
Not because I wanted to do it. Did I receive my reward? If I obeyed, I did. Everybody doing all right? Man, I'm having fun. You know that having good Bible standards of dress is not for you to stand up and show off. It's out of obedience to God. Neither is showing off your skin at this time of year, running around with your underwear on, and that's it. Amen. Why is it when it gets warm, everybody wants to strip down to their underwear, run around, and, you know, it doesn't make sense. Stupid news in Maryland this week, trying to decide whether it's okay for women to be topless at the beach. You know, according to that Bible, there's one answer, no. The fact that you even have to ask that question means the answer is no. It makes no sense. Why is it that we can paint something a different color, put sand and water down, and think it's okay to run around naked? Anybody doing all right? Why is it we Christians decide once we turn teenagers and young adults that it's okay for us to go backwards on Bible standards, not forward? Did you know that Bible standards don't change because you change to age? Everybody doing all right? That's like these 60-year-old hippies. You know, the 60, 70-year-olds that got their white ponytail hanging down in the back with their leather coat on, riding their Harley. Makes me want to laugh. My wife and I saw a fella the other day. He had to be 70-plus years old and had two earrings in. I thought, that is just about as ridiculous as I've seen in a long time. Somebody your age ought to have better sense than that. But he didn't. And all I did is look at my wife and said, well, that's a 60s reject. Heard him talk for about 30 seconds and said, I was right. Yeah, man. I thought, yeah. Here you are trying to be 16 in the 60s again. Wrong answer. Your reward is based on your obedience and your attitude for it. Are you trying to get everybody's attention, or are you trying to just do what's right? That doesn't mean you conform to the world. Ladies, I think when you go to work, you ought to dress right. One of our young ladies got a new job, and my daughter has worked in many different jobs, and she says, look, I'm wearing skirts, whether you think it's appropriate or not, or I don't take the job. If I can't wear a skirt, I'm not working here.
She doesn't do it in a mean way. It's just how she dresses, because she believes in dressing like a lady. Doesn't mean everybody else is bad. That's her standard. It's a Bible standard. And by the way, you can do it in a kind way, whether everybody else does it or not. Everybody doing all right? Man, I'm having fun right now. I got to hurry. I got one more point here. The Great White Throne Judgment is where the unsaved get their final sentence on all their sin. Turn to Revelation chapter 20. So God says he's going to try our works as Christians by what sort they are, not the number. Not how many. Not how much. But I believe the more you do, the more you're going to want to do for God. Number 3, the Great White Throne Judgment is for the unsaved to get their final sentence on sin. Look at Revelation chapter 20, verse number 11. And I saw a great white throne, him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their, what's that next word?
Works.
And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. They were judged, every man, according to their works. And death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Now listen to me.
This is the eternal sentencing. Everybody that is still alive at this point in time is taken to heaven. Those that have died are brought back from the grave, and they stand in heaven for their final judgment. Now listen to me. Can you imagine being a lost person and the last thing you ever see, because hell is total darkness, is the very heaven that you're going to not be in? They will see heaven one time, and they'll spend the rest of eternity angry and bitter over the fact that they could have had it and did not have it. Those that have been suffering in hell for thousands of years will be brought out. They'll face their final sentencing phase and be cast into the lake of fire for eternity. And the last thing they'll ever see is God and heaven. Imagine how rough that's going to be. That means people who have caused sin. Okay, the Hugh Hefners are going to have a pretty hot hell. The porn industry, because even though that those rascals may die, the effect of it is lasting for many generations. Yes, Hollyweird is going to have a pretty hot hell. Yes. Everybody doing all right? Bad doctrine preachers are going to have a pretty bad hell. Popes are going to have a hot hell. Because their damnation lasts for many generations and sometimes centuries and millennia. They'll spend eternity after seeing heaven's splendor. By the way, they're going to be judged by their works. Those things that were done in their body and in here to try to merit their salvation, but they never submitted to the righteousness of God to get saved. And all those works were for themselves. Even the bad works, and they're going to be judged for it. Matthew chapter 7, verse number 21. Not everyone that saith unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? That's preachers. And in thy name cast out devils. In the name of Jesus be healed. Amen. And in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, accursed, into everlasting, you workers of iniquity. Whosoever heareth these things, and God's going to cast them into hell. There are people that are good people that are going to die and go to hell. They're going to say, but God, didn't I do all these wonderful things? I spoke in tongues. I felt the Spirit. I felt like I did everything I was supposed to do. I took catechism. Whatever that is. Catechism and cataclysm are pretty close. Amen? Right, right, right. I didn't eat fish on Fridays. I didn't either.
I did Ramadan. That's kind of like Rubik's Cube or something to me. All right, we did all these things. God, I got up and I preached. God, I prophesied in your name. God, I preached about love. I had my turtleneck suit on, or shirt on, and sat on a stool in front of everybody and said, God is love. Let's love everybody. Good God, good devil, good everybody. Everybody doing all right? Those are the yard birds that are going to be in heaven getting ready to get cast into hell. God, I tried to be good. God is hoping my good outweighed the bad. Many shall say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not done all these wonderful things? Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting darkness. You cursed into everlasting hell. You're cursed. Say why? Because you are trying to earn your salvation on your own, and your sin is multiplying over the generations that it traveled. And you're going to receive your final reward. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. Hell is now, the lake of fire is worse. Lake of fire is the eternal hell. Everybody doing all right? That lake of fire is where you get your final sentencing and how bad it will be. By the way, that's the lake of fire where God binds Satan with chains and throws him in, and he never gets out, and he seals it up, and he's there forever and ever and ever and ever. And I can't wait to be on the front row and spit on him while he gets thrown out. I want to lead the cheer.
So sick and tired of what sin does to people's lives. Tired of the heartache. I'm tired of the grief. I'm tired of the pain. Tired of the brokenness. If you only knew just this week the burdens that I've had to help people with. Death. Sickness. My wife and I know a couple that we've known for over 30 years. Been married 30 years and man's wife left him this within the last few weeks. I spent 2.5 hours on the phone with him trying to rebuild him. I believe we can spare their marriage. But going to Christian psychologists and going to this person, going to that person, I said, Doc, you don't need all that mess. You need the Word of God and you need the Holy Spirit to change you. So quit spending all your money on all your fancy intellect. You need God. These judgments are not trials of innocence and guilt. These are the sentencing phase of the lost and the Christian. God's going to try our works by what sort they are. Hey, you used to do things for God. What are you doing now? Some things you can't do physically. Okay, but what are you doing? Do you used to go soul winning and you don't do it at all anymore? You can witness when you go out to eat. Give somebody a gospel tract at the store. Good night. You can witness to people that call the wrong number. If I didn't get so many stupid sales calls, I'd answer them all. Say, what would you do? I can get off the calling list real quick. You just start witnessing to them. Told my daughter when I dropped her off at the airport, I said, honey, you got your Bible with you? Yes, sir. Why wouldn't I? I said, when you go in, sit down, open your Bible. I said, you'll have a seat anywhere you want. I promise you. They'll scatter. Huh. So it's not a matter of the amount of works we do. It's the kind of works we do. Are we doing it to get attention for ourselves? Are we doing it for God? Are you carrying people's burdens so you can look and say, look at me, look how good a Christian I am? Do you have Bible standards based on that it's a merit badge for you to say, look at me, or is it, I just want to be close to you? It's all about your relationship with God and your eternal reward. That's what sort our works are. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done.
two judgments we'll face. For the saved, the judgment seat of Christ. For the lost, the great white throne judgment. Don't be in that last one. Don't face God lost. You'll be going to hell. Who'd say, preacher, if I die today, I am 100% sure I'm going to heaven when I die. Would you raise your hand? God bless you. You can put your hands down. Who would say, preacher, if I die today, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven, but I'd like to know. Would you raise your hand? All right. Who'd say, preacher, somewhere in that sermon, something I personally needed for my life personally. Would you raise your hand? Oh, my soul, dozens and dozens and dozens of hands. In a moment, we'll stand to our feet. When we stand to our feet, the piano begins to play. And the piano begins to play. How about you come forward and use this altar on your knees? Maybe turn around your seat and use your seat as your altar. And get right with God, what that which needs to be gotten right with.